Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Essential Ideas of John Locke. One of the first people to start building the foundations for the free societies we live in today was John Locke. Locke was born in 1632 in Rington, a village in England. His ideas laid the foundation for classical liberalism, which would become increasingly prevalent in Western countries. From 1667 through the early 1680s, Locke acted as a physician and intellectual aide to the Earl of Shaftesbury. Around 1679 to 1680, Locke drafted one of his most influential works, The Two Treatises of Government. Locke's two treatises argued for radical limits on the authority of the state, limiting the function of government to the narrow protection of people's rights to life, liberty, and estate. Locke fled to Holland in 1683 due to his association with Shaftesbury and his counterparts and their continued opposition to Charles II. While in Holland, he composed A Letter Concerning Toleration, which is one of the great landmark essays in defense of religious toleration. Locke returned to England after the Glorious Revolution of 1688, which installed the more liberal regime of William and Mary. In 1689, The Two Treatises was published. He also published his A Letter Concerning Toleration around this time. Locke remained concerned about persecution, so these works were published anonymously. Locke's insights into the nature of a just government and the nature of freedom established the foundation for a radically different political philosophy. His writings influenced many thinkers and scholars, including Voltaire, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the Scottish Enlightenment thinkers, and the American revolutionaries. Classical liberalism, as it became known, became a revolutionary force in the Western world in the 18th and 19th centuries, and remains influential to this day. For more information on John Locke, visit EssentialJohnLocke.com. Welcome to the Essential Ideas of John Locke. One of Locke's most important and enduring insights related to property. Locke argued that every person was born with certain basic natural rights, and that these natural rights enabled individuals to acquire further rights, including property rights. Locke argued that, first and foremost, every person has a property right over themselves. In other words, each person has a right of self-ownership, meaning others, such as a king, do not have control over the individual person. This view stood in stark contrast to the view that the king or queen owned everything, including the people, or that the rights of individuals were determined by the will of the sovereign. Locke argued that such sovereign authority over the individual was contrary to the law of nature. The bundle of rights that Locke envisioned every person possessing also included the right to one's labor. This means that individuals have a right to the fruits of their physical labor, as well as their ingenuity, creativity, and innovation. Locke also explained how we can come to have property rights in land or other natural resources. Rights not based in political decree or favoritism. The key for Locke was what he called labor mixing, which occurs when a person uses their physical labor, ideas, imagination, and creativity to transform previously unused physical material. For example, Joe and Sarah arrive in the New World and find an unclaimed area of land. They begin a process of transforming the land to build a farm. According to Locke, this labor is how Joe and Sarah acquire rights over the land. Property rights over the products produced on the farm is an important addition because it means that Joe and Sarah have the right to decide how best to use their crop. They can consume it or trade it with people for other goods and services they might need. These insights about the importance of property rights in ensuring a free and prosperous society are as applicable now as they were when John Locke was writing them originally. For more information on John Locke, visit EssentialJohnLocke.org. And to learn more about Essential Scholars, visit EssentialScholars.org.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Peace to the gods, peace to the gods. You know, it's historical Mondays. I know J-Rock might not be on the show today, but no, shout out to J-Rock. And yeah, on historical Mondays, we're talking about John Locke, right? That's J-O-H-N space L-O-C-K-E. Yeah, basically, we're just about to get into it. Like I said, I hope everybody's day is going lovely and beautiful so far. And it's not going to be a long show tonight. So, let's do it. Let's get right into it. So, we're going to go inside of the private chat. And the reason, like, let me explain this first before going into the chat. So the reason why we go over a lot of stuff, including this information here, is because we need to study and know society and where we live in, right? Because it only makes sense. If we live in this environment, we need to study in our environment. We need to know that we are in control of ourselves and no one else is. But when you start to do certain other things, you can let people can definitely be in control of you. So while you're in control of yourself, you know, study these things and, you know, keep that freedom. Keep that freedom. But yeah, the first definition we're going to go to is sociology. And it says sociology, noun, the science of social phenomena, the study of the structure and development of human societies, 1842, from French sociology, a hybrid coined 1830, by French philosopher Isidore Auguste Comte, 1798 through 1857, from Latin socius, associate, see social, Greek derived, suffix logi, see logi. So yeah, that's, you know, sociology, the science and the study of the structure and development of human societies. So we're going to go into the next definition, which is politics. And you might hear a lot of people, but I ain't into politics, bro. I ain't with all the politics. You'll hear some people say that, those type of stuff. But, you know, you gotta get into it. And it says, politics, noun, 1520s, science and art of government, from politic, noun, the political state of a country or government, early 15th century, from Old French politic. And medieval Latin politica, see politic, adjective. The plural form probably was mentioned on Aristotle's Ta Politica, Affairs of State. Plural, the name of his book on governing and governments, which is in English, mid-15th century, as the book of politics or Politicus. So that's a good book to go ahead and read. And it says the sense of political action or practice. Well, hold on one second. Go straight up here. It says politics is the science of good sense applied to public affairs. And as those are forever changing, what is wisdom today would be folly and perhaps ruin tomorrow. Politics is not a science so properly as a business. It cannot have fixed principles from which a wise man would never swerve unless the inconsistency of men's view of interest and the capriciousness of the tempers could be fixed. Fisher Ames, 1758 through 1801, British Alliance in the Boston Repertory, November 1806. The sense of political actions or practice is from 1640s, meaning political allegiance or opinion of a person or party is from 1769. So yeah, that is politics, science, and art of government. So you gotta know the science and art of government. I'm gonna go ahead and go into the chat, and we're gonna pick the next word, and it is civics, the science of government, study of the rights and responsibilities of a citizen, 1885, in American Institute of Civics, incorporated May 1885 from civic by analogy with politics. So yeah, that was the definition of civics, right? Civics being the science of government, study of the rights and responsibilities of a citizen. So a little different from politics. So we're going to go into the private chat again, go ahead and go into John Locke, right? And it says John Locke, 29th. August 1632 through 28 October 1704, was an English philosopher and physician widely regarded as one of the most influential of Enlightenment thinkers and commonly known as the father of liberalism. Considered one of the first of the British empiricists, following the tradition of Francis Bacon, Locke is equally important to social contract theory, right? So we're gonna click that link where it says he's important to social contract theory. So we're gonna click social contract, right? And it says in moral and political philosophy, the social contract is an idea, theory, or model that usually, although not always, concerns the legitimacy of the authority of the state over the individual. Conceptualized in the Age of Enlightenment, it is a core concept of constitutionalism, while not necessarily conveyed and written down in a Constituent Assembly and Constitution. And it carries on to say, social contract arguments typically are the individuals have consented. Well, it says social contract arguments typically are that individuals have consented, either explicitly or tacitly, to surrender some of their freedoms and submit to the authority of the ruler or to the decision of a majority in exchange for protection, of the remaining rights or maintenance of the social order. And it says the relation between natural and legal rights is often a topic of social contract theory. So you got natural and legal rights, right? You got natural rights and you got legal rights. But let's go ahead and look at that word where it said tacitly, right? Earlier. And that is spelled T-A-C-I-T-L-Y. And it says, when I click the hyperlink, it says silence procedure. And it says a silent procedure, tacit consent, or tacit acceptance procedure, French procedure d'appropriation, tacit, Latin K, tacit, conscientia fedetia. He who is silent is taken to agree. Silence implies means consent. Is a way of formally adopting texts, often but not exclusively, in an international political context. A textbook on diplomacy describes the silent procedure, therefore, a proposal with strong support is deemed to have been agreed unless any member raises an objection to it before a precise deadline. Silence signifies assent or at least acquiescence. This procedure relies on a member in a minority fearing that raising an objection will expose it to the charge of obstructiveness and thereby the perils of isolation. Silence procedure is employed by NATO, the OSCE, in the framework of the Common Foreign and Security Policy of the European Union, and no doubt in numerous other international bodies. So yeah, that was a silent procedure, right? Basically talking about how your silence is an agreement and it signifies acquiescence. Your silence is your consent. So we'll go back to the next page. Well, the previous page, I should say. The term takes its name from the social contract. French du contrat social, OU, principles, du droit politique. A 1762 book from Jean Jacques Rochois that discussed this concept. Although the antecedents of social contract theory are found in antiquity, in Greek and Stoic philosophy, and Roman and canon law, the heyday of the social contract was the mid 17th to early 19th century, when it emerged as the leading doctrine of political legitimacy. The starting point for most social contract theories, we don't have to go into this one too much, so we're going to go back. I just figured we're going too deep on social contract. The whole thing is to go into John Locke. But the social contract is kind of good because we was talking on our previous show. Go check that one out. Called like Tricks of the Court, where you have to be objecting. If you don't object, you submit and relinquish those rights that you do have or waive your rights. And they take your silence as an agreement. So yeah, go check that show out. And it says his work greatly affected the development of epistemology and political philosophy. His writings influenced Voltaire and Jean-Jacques Rousseau and many Scottish Enlightenment thinkers, as well as the American revolutionaries. His contributions to classical republicanism and liberal theory are reflected in the United States Declaration of Independence. Internationally, Locke's political legal principles continue to have a profound influence on the theory and practice of limited representative government and the protection of basic rights and freedom under the rule of law. And it says Locke's theory of mind is often cited as the origin of modern conceptions of identity and the self figuring prominently in the work of later philosophers such as Jean-Jacques Rousseau, David Hume, and Immanuel Kant. He postulated that at birth the mind was a blank slate. Or tabula rasa. Contrary to Cartesian philosophy based on pre-existing concepts, he maintained that we are born without innate ideas and that knowledge is instead determined only by experience derived from sense perception, a concept now known empiricism. E-M-P-I-R-I-C-I-S-M. And as you can see, it's a lot of different stuff that he is known for, but they call him as one of the father of liberalism. And he goes deep into, you know, just different philosophies, right? He has a different philosophy than a lot of people back inside his day. And, you know, they had a lot of monarchies back then. So kings and queens and stuff like that, right? Now, we have those still existing, but not as much. So we have to learn society and government, because if you don't, you could forget founding acquiescence. If you don't object and you be silent, because your silence is your agreement. And, you know, basically be a slave. You could be admitting that you're a slave or a peasant and don't even know it. But I don't really got too much to say on this show, but he is definitely an interesting guy. He had an influence also on the Constitution. So go check out John Locke. Do some more research on him. That's J-O-H-N space L-O-C-K-E. And I know it's a little late for me, but you know, I just wanted to get the show done and make sure everything was good. But, you know, we'll come back on the show. And, yeah, I'll see y'all on the next show. Peace to the God.